Okay, we'll start a little bit back. Our daf is Mem Hey, but we'll go back to Mem Dalet Amabet. We'll start briefly with the Mishnah, then we'll skip down a little bit. Tiglachat Tumah Ketzad. So we're going to talk today about two different types of shavings. One was the shaving he does if he's accidentally Tameh Lameit, and within the process he gives three korbanot. You can look at your sheets already. I charted out. We talked about this a bunch of times, but I figured it helps to visualize the three korbanot that you bring for each. So there's the Tiglachat Tum'ah, you bring a chatat and an ola made from birds, right? Shnei Torim or Shnei B'nei Yonah. And then you bring a keves la'asham. That's if you accidentally become tameh lameit. When you finish your nizirut, you bring an ola and a chatat also, but from a keves and a kivsah. The ola is the keves and the chatat is the kivsah. And the shlamim, you bring, instead of an asham, you don't bring an asham, you bring a shlamim, and that's with an ayin. Okay, so that's the two different tiglachot. The process is called tiglachat, even though, obviously, it's not just tiglachat, it's also the korbanot. They call it the tiglachat. So now they describe how you do it. So we're going to do the tiglachat tum'ah, and then tiglachat tahara. So tiglachat tum'ah ketzad. Hayamazeh bashlishi bashvi'i, right? You have to be mazeh, the mechatah, because of the tum'ah. So you shave on the 7th, your korbanot go on the 8th. And obviously you also were tovel on the 7th. Okay, and if he ended up doing the shaving not on the 7th but on the 8th, he could still bring his korbanot the same day. In other words, you're supposed to do the giluach the day before the korbanot, but the point of Rabbi Akiva is, this is Divrei Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't matter. It's not that you need a day's break. Why would you need a day's break? Because of Harev Shemesh. Okay, right? Just like when you tovel, you need Harev Shemesh. You usually tovel in the morning, and it's everyone except for the Nida and the Yoledet. They tovel in the morning, and then you wait for the sun to set, which is really Tzedek Kochavim, and at the end of sunset. And at the end of sunset, you become tahor. Okay, all that day you're called a tful yom, and you obviously can't bring korbanot. But here they're saying you don't need harev shemesh for your giluach. Okay, even though generally the giluach is done the day before the korbanot, it doesn't mean though that you'd have to wait a day if you did it on the 8th.
When they say giluach, is that shorthand for giluach and tefillah?
Right. I don't know why they don't discuss the tefillah here. I guess because it's nothing unique by Nazir. Here they're talking about the things that you need. Obviously, you would need the tefillah. You would have to do a day before. You'd have to wait for Harev Shemesh of the tefillah. So you would tovel. I don't know if there's a distinction in terms of the order. You probably would tovel in the morning and then do your giluach, I would assume. But I'm not sure if you would have an issue about the tefillah coming, if it would have to come after. I don't know. Amalei Rabbi Tarfo, ma ben zeh lemetzorah. Why is this different from a metzorah who needs his shaving to have harev shemesh? Okay, the metzorah also does his shaving on the 7th, and he does his korbanot on the 8th. And if he pushes off his shaving by a day, then he has to wait another day. He needs harev shemesh. So Amalei zeh tarato tluya biyamav umetzorah tarato tluya b'tiglachato. So he says that there's a difference between the tarav and mitzorah depends on the shaving. The shaving is part of the tahara process. Whereas the nazir, his tahara comes from the counting of the days. And it's not that the shaving has to happen, but it's not what makes him tahur. Okay? Fine. So then I'm going to skip down now a few lines. Okay, we're going to start from Amar Abaye. Okay, the first word in the line is Bashvi'i. It's about 10 or 11 lines from the bottom. Eshkachtinu l'chavre de Rav Natan Bar Hoshaya de Yadvin v'ka'amrin. Okay, I saw the friends of Rav Natan Bar Hoshaya who were sitting and saying, Uba lifnei Hashem el petach o moed u'nitanam ala kohen. This is a pasuk by Mitzora. Okay, so it says, Uba yom ha'shmini yikach lo shnei torim o shnei b'nei yonah Uba lifnei Hashem el petach o moed u'nitanam ala kohen. Okay, so on the 8th day, what does he do? He brings the birds. He comes, okay, note the verbs here. Yikach, shnei torim, or shnei b'nei yonah, uba lifnei Hashem, el petach ol moed. And then, unitanam ala kohen. Okay, so he takes the birds, he comes before Hashem, petach ol moed, and he gives them to the kohen. E matai huba, Bizman shu taval v'asa haref shemesh. When can he come to Petach Ohel Moed? Only if there's been haref shemesh. In v'lo taval v'asa haref shemesh. But if he didn't dunk or he didn't wait till haref shemesh, lo. Alma kasavar tful yom shel zav kiz zav dame. From here we learn. Wait 1 second. This is, oh, you know what? I think I'm. No, this is the pasuk by Zav, I assume. Sorry, I said it was by. I assume it's the pasuk by Zav, because, right, I forgot that we switched from Mitzorah to Zav. Let me just double check 100%. Okay, anybody wants to look, by the way? I brought enough Tanachim. Right, this is the Zav. Okay? So the Zav brings, right, so what do they learn from here? That he needs to be, right? He needs to be Harev Shemesh from his tefillah before he can come to Petach Ohel Moed. So what do we learn from this? That a tful yom of a zav is just like a zav himself, meaning just like a zav can't come to Petach Ohel Moed because he's tamei. Also the tful yom. Now what's a tful yom? We've talked about this many times. A tful yom is someone who went to the mikvah but hasn't yet had Harev Shemesh, right? It hasn't become Seder Kochavim of that day. And they're an in-between status because they have tovot. However, the tefillah isn't finished yet until Harev Shemesh. They're at this in-between stage. Sometimes there's things they could do and there's other things they can't do. Okay, now, the assumption is that he's discussing here, there's two types of a zav, okay, that have to wait 7 days. There's a zav, okay, a zav is someone who has a discharge. Okay, there's some details. Well, maybe we'll get into it one day about exactly what all the details of the Zav are, what he sees. But anyway, there's a Zav bal shtei riyot and shalosh riyot. A Zav who sees something come out two times and three times. If he sees two things coming out, like 2 days in a row or two in the same day, then he has to wait the 7 days, but he doesn't have to bring a korban. If he sees three re'iyot, then he has to do the same 7 days, but he also has to bring a korban on the 8th day. Now, the assumption here of what they're talking about, they're saying, the friends of Nachum Baruch Shaya are saying that any zav, I'm going to just preface this by saying it's a little complicated what exactly is going on in the Gemara, and I'm going to go with one interpretation. So the assumption is that what they're saying, even though it doesn't say this, and that's the weakness of this perush, is that when he's talking about a tful yom of a zav, he's saying any zav, whether you have to bring korbanot or whether you don't. Now, there's a few terms we need to know. One is a tful yom, which we just learned, right? A tful yom is someone who went to the mikvah but hasn't yet become tahor because the sun didn't set yet. There's also someone called mechusar kippurim, which is someone who hasn't yet, he might have finished the 7th day, but he hasn't brought his korbanot that are supposed to be brought on the 8th day. Now that term would obviously only be relevant to the zav who sees 3 re'iyot and not the zav who sees 2 re'iyot, because the zav who sees 2 re'iyot doesn't have to bring a korban. So now, what are they saying? That obviously they're assuming that this pasuk, even though this pasuk is talking, and this is the weakness, the pasuk where they're quoting is a pasuk about bringing the korbanot. It's obviously talking about the shalosh re'iyot. But they're learning to this also for any zav, because they're saying that it's if he was taval, vasarev shemesh, then he can go. It has to be someone who can immediately go. And this guy can't immediately go because he hasn't had harev shemesh yet. And therefore, they're going to say it's not because he's mechusar kippurim. They're talking about someone who hasn't yet gone to the mikvah and waited for Harev Shemesh. Okay, and only if he has, that's when he can go. And that's what they're talking about. Ubayom HaShmini, once he's toveled and waited for Harev Shemesh from day number 7, then he can already go before Ohel Moed. Now, where is Ohel Moed? We're going to see this in a minute in the text. I'll already tell you. We're talking about, okay, here's our map. We have the Ezrat Nashim, right? There's the entrance to the Beit HaMikdash. There's the Ezrat Nashim, and to get from the Ezrat Nashim to the Ezrat Yisrael, there's Shar Nikanor. Okay, now that's considered the parallel to the Ohel Moed, of Petach Ohel Moed. This is the Petach Ohel Moed, Shar Nikanor. Okay, we learned about it, how the Dlatot were almost sank in the water. They were bringing them over. There was a miracle about them, and then they floated up, and it's a whole miracle about the Shar Nikanor. They also were very beautiful. So anyway, this is the gate of Shar Nikanor, and that's what's considered Petach Ohel Moed. Okay, if you see here, there's the Lishkat HaMetzoraim, and there's a mikveh there. Okay, so the Metzoraim used to wait there because that's where, remember, we learned they would stick their finger in. They had to be sprinkled, but they couldn't go into the Azara because they weren't Tahor yet. So how did they do it? So they stand here and they put their finger and their toes in and they can get sprinkled. Right, in their ear. Anyway, okay. So, okay, so now, what do we have? So what do they say? It must be that a tful yom of a zav is like a zav. So Amina Lahon Ana, so Abaya says, I heard them saying this, and I said to them, Ela me'ata gabe nazir teme nami. Dichtiv, you should say the same thing by the nazir. What does it say by the nazir? Ela kohen al petach o moed. Okay, it says, we'll read the whole pasuk, it's Bamidbar Vav pasuk yud. Uba yom ha'shmini yavish nei torim o shnei b'nei ona ala kohen al petach o moed. It's the same thing. You have to bring them to the petach o moed. So again, what would you assume? E matai hu ba bizman shetaval vasarev shemesh. So now he says, but wait, michti shari nikanor hechan kayamim. Where is shari nikanor considered? This is considered b'sharei leviyah. This is like the machane. Remember in the Mishkan there was the three machanot: machane Israel, machane leviyah, machane shechina. So here also, inside shari nikanor is all considered machane shechina. In the Azriat Nashim, it's considered the sharei leviyah. Okay, or Machane Leviyah. Now, V'hatanya, T'mei Meit, Mutar L'kanes B'Machane Leviyah, V'lo T'mei Meit B'Vad, Ela Afilu Meit Atzmo, Sh'ne'emar, V'yikach Moshe Et Atzmo Yosef Imo. My Imo, Imo B'Machitzato. Imo B'Machane Leviyah. So now, what do we have here? One second. Right. Okay. What I didn't mention is right. So okay. So Shari Nikanor are considered the Machane Leviyah. Okay. And then what do we have? A Tmei Meit can go into the Machane Leviyah. Okay. And even a Meit Atzmo. How do we know? Because Moshe took the Atzmo of Yosef with him into the Machane Leviyah. Okay. How do we know? Because it says, "Vayikach Moshe et atzmo Yosef imo." What's the assumption? They were with him, and Moshe was from Shevet Levi, right? So it must be that he could have brought bones with him. If he could bring bones, well, then obviously it's Tmei Meit. Now the Nazir shenitma, right? The Nazir that becomes a Tmei Meit is allowed to go then to Machane Leviyah. Now, what did we just learn from the pasuk by the Zav, which then we're going to apply to the Nazir? Because it seems like the same type of pasuk, that he can only go there once he has Harav Shemesh. Now the Nazir should be allowed to go there according to Vayikach Atzmo Yosef Imo. He should be allowed to go there even before he tovels, even before he has Harav Shemesh, right? He doesn't need, certainly doesn't even need Harav Shemesh, he doesn't even need to tovel, because the Tmei Meit is allowed in this area. So why are we assuming that the pasuk is telling you only on the eighth day is he allowed to go once he's had tefillah and harav shemesh? So then they're going to say, Ela, tful yom shel zav, kizav dami. Okay, so Abaye says, va'afilu hachi, kevan demechusar kapara lo ayil. Okay, what is he saying? Now he's going to split it up. Okay, again, according to this interpretation, I'm going to say there's some difficulty with this, but again, going with this interpretation that we've seen, Abai is going to distinguish between the tful yom of the zav who needs to do a korban and the tful yom of the zav who doesn't need to do a korban. So the one who's not allowed to go to Shari Nikanor until he's ready is the one because he's mechusar kipurim. It's not because he didn't have Harav Shemesh of the Tvila. It has to do with whether he's still mechusar kipurim of his korban. Then he can't go. And that's the reason he can't go. But if he's not mechusar kipurim, then he's allowed to go, which would then apply to the Nazir also. So the Nazir also can't go until he's... right, until the eighth day when he's going to bring his korban, because he's mechusar kipurim, but not because he's tmei meit. The whole thing of Yosef is trying to prove even the tmei meit can go there to Machane Leviyah. But now they're saying it has nothing to do with the tuma; it has to do with the Machane Leviyah. I don't think we need it anymore, so you don't have to worry. Okay, so this whole area is the Machane Leviyah, and the people who are only allowed to go there, they have to wait for the Harav Shemesh of the seventh day, because they're mechusar kipurim. In other words, that element makes it is what is kover. Okay,
how that's what's, how to get out of mechusar kiburim is to bring the korban.
Right,
so
exactly.
Kind of like a
exactly. So, so 1 second. Right. So what they say is that he's got two things against him. In other words, a regular person has one strike against them, which is a tful yom. That we're going to override. But this person has a tful yom and mechusar kiburim because he has the two things. We're going to not let him go until he has Haref Shemesh of his Tful Yom, and then he's only got one strike against him. And that's the way they explain it, okay, according to this interpretation. So because of that, right, so therefore he need Haref Shemesh helps him, even though he's still Mechusar Kippurim, he doesn't have both elements. So he needs to wait till he's Haref Shemesh of day number 7, and even though at that point he's still Mechusar Kippurim, then it's only one strike against him, and then we allow him to go. Okay? So now they're going to ask one more question, which is v'iba machane leviakai amayka kare le'ol moed. And so if we're talking about going to machane leviakai, why do they call it ol moed? Ol moed sounds like the machane shechina. So right, they say petach ol moed, but really it's by Shaar HaNikun, or where he's still inside the machane leviakai, not inside the machane shechina. So what do they say? So they say petach ol moed to teach you this. What? Lememra ma hata mechusar kapara lo ayel af la machane levia. Sorry, ma hatam. Just like the pasuk says, al petach ol moed, to tell you that just like into ol moed, mechusar kapara can't come. Okay, af la machane levia nami mechusar kapara lo ayel. Okay, the whole reason it mentions petach ol moed in the pasuk is to teach you that it's just like ol moed. Okay, that we're going to treat it like ol moed. This is a mechusar kapara. Can't go into the Ezrat Yisrael or Ezrat Kohanim, right? He can't come in past Shaar HaNikanor. He also can't come to Shaar HaNikanor until he has, again, the Harev Shemesh of day number 7. V'hata minalan. Where do we learn that? That he can't come in to the Machane Shechina. Titanya. Okay, here's the pasuk. Okay, we'll go to Bamibar Yud Tet Yud Gimel. Kolano Gea B'Meit B'Nefesh HaAdam Asher Yamut V'Lo Yitchata. Okay, anyone who touches a maid is a Tmei Meit, and he doesn't become Tabur. Et Mishkan Hashem Tmei V'Nechrata Nefesh Ahim Yisrael Ki Mei Nida Lo Zorak Alav Tamei Yihye Od Tumato Bo. Now, if you notice, it already said he was Tamei, right? Why does it have to say at the end there, Tamei Yihye and Od Tumato Bo? That whole end is redundant. So what do they say? Tamei Yihye comes to Lirabo Tful Yom. The Tful Yom can't go in. Even though, right, he toholed, he still can't go into the Machane Shechina. And Od Tumato Bo Lirabo Mechusar Kapara. That even a Mechusar Kapara can't go into the Machane Shechina. Okay, and therefore they're teaching you likewise a mechusar kapara can't go into by Shaar HaNikanor. However, there's a bit of that difference because again it's a mechusar kapara without the Haref Shemesh. Once he has Haref Shemesh, he's already allowed in the Machane Levia. Okay, now we're moving on to the next Mishnah about the Tiglachat HaTahara. Tiglachat HaTahara Ketzad. Haya mevish shalosh behemot. Chatat, Ola, Ushlamim. V'shochetet hashlamim u'megaleach aleihem. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to have a whole machloket about when we do the giluach and connect it with which korban. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we do the chatat, the ola, and the shlamim, and then when he shechs the shlamim, the assumption is he does it in that order, although it's not so clear. There's some different versions of this Mishnah, and some people say that he actually does the chatat not first. There's some difference of opinion about how exactly the order is according to him, but let's go with the pshat here. He does the chatat, the ola, and the shlamim. He shechs the shlamim, u'megalech aleihem, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, he's megalech on all of them, basically. Okay, but meaning, it sounds like he does chatat, ola, shlamim, and after the shlamim, he does the giluach. Rabbi Elazar omer, lo haya megalech, ela ala chatat. Shachatat kodemet bechol makom. Okay, he does the giluach on the chatat. Okay, now here's why you can see, we'll see in a second, why there seems to be a difference of opinion about how to understand Rabbi Yehuda. Because what does he say? He's megalech on the chatat. Why? Shachatat kodemet bechol makom. What does that mean? The chatat always goes first. Okay? What does that mean? The chatat, if you look at the psukim, okay, if you go back to Bamidbar, Perek Vav, where we have the psukim by the Nazir, Okay, so if you look, you can either look at the beginning of the Shatenstein. If you have the Shatenstein, it has all the psukim, or you can open a Tanakh. In Bavayikra Vav, Bamibar Vav, Pasuk, Yud Tet Zayin, it says, V'yikriva kohen lefne Hashem, v'asa et chatato v'et olato. Okay, he does the chatat, and then the olah. V'ata'al yaseh zevach ha-shlamim la'ashem al-sal ha-matzot. Okay, then he does the shlamim. V'asa kohen menchato v'et nizko. V'gilach ha-nazir petach ha-moed at Rosh Nizro. Okay, so first of all, this order sounds very much like Tanakama, right? Chatat, Ola, Shlamim, Giluach. Matches the pshat of the psuki. So Rabbi Elazar comes and says something that doesn't make so much sense. He says, no, he's Megaleach on the Chatat. Why? Because the Chatat is Kodemet. So first of all, what does the Chatat Kodemet have to do with the Giluach, right? So those who say that Rabbi Yehuda actually has a different order. He doesn't mean you do the chatat first, okay? Some they say that dafka the chatat doesn't go first, and what the second opinion, Rabbi Elazar, is coming to say, no, you're wrong. The chatat goes first because the chatat kodemet b'chol makom, and the chatat appears in the psukim first. So why wouldn't you have the chatat first? Okay, that's an advantage to those who say that there's some other version of this mishnah, and that's not what Rabbi Yehuda said. Obviously, the text in front of us doesn't really match that, and then you have to wonder why is he specifically saying that you do the giluach with the chatat because the chatat is first. That's not really such a convincing argument. V'im gilach alachat mishloshtan yatsa. Okay, but if he does the giluach really on any of them, it doesn't really matter. In other words, b'dieved, like lichatchila, you should do the giluach with the chatat. Again, Rabbi Lazar's opinion doesn't match the pshat of the psukim, which the giluach seems to come at the end. However, he says if you did it with any one of them, you're yotzei. Okay, we're going to get into more details in the Gemara about this. Rashba gomer, now this is a separate halacha, this doesn't have to do with the machloka between them. Hevi shalosh behemot v'lo peresh, we've seen this before. If generally, when you bring your korbanot to the Beit HaMikdash, you have to say, this animal goes for this korban, this animal for this korban, this animal for that korban. But let's say you happen to bring a keves, ikivsan and ayo, which match exactly the chatat, the ola, and the shlamim, and you're a nazir, and you're finishing your nizirut, and it's obvious. So, but you didn't say what each was for. Haruya lechata, tikrav chata, lola, tikrav ola, leshlamim, tikrav shlamim. The Kohen can designate because it's obvious what you designated. It doesn't need a specific designation. Okay. The Gemara is going to start with the Braita. Tana Rabbana. V'gilach ha-nazir petach o moed. B'shlamim ha-katub medaber. Okay, when it says here now, okay, v'gilach ha-nazir, so remember the psukim, right, we had. He does the chatat, he does the ola, then he does the ayil, then he brings, right, then he does the al for the shlamim, with the sal matzot, he brings the mincha and the nesech, and then it says, v'gilach ha-nazir, again we have this petach ohel moed, okay? And then it says, v'lakach et sa'ar rosh nizro, we didn't read this before, okay, so he brings it to petach ohel moed at rosh nizro, then it says, and he takes the sa'ar rosh nizro, v'natan ala esh asher tachat zevach ha-shlamim, and he puts the hair with the fire where the shlamim are burning. Okay. So we're going to have some drashot on this pasuk. V'gilach ha-nazir petach ohel moed. Again, petach ohel moed, right before the Shaar Nikanor. B'shlamim ha-katuv medaber. It means that he does this with the korban shlamim, which matches, right, the first opinion, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. B'shlamim ha-katuv medaber. How do we know this? Shene'amar, v'shachato petach ohel moed. Ata omer b'shlamim ha-katuv medaber, o eno ela petach ol moed mamash. Now we're going to say, what does it mean when it says petach ol moed? Does it mean that literally he's standing by Shaar Nikanor in the petach ol moed? Now why is that? Why are they asking this as a question and thinking maybe that's not really what it means? Think about it. What's he doing? He's shaving his hair off. It's a very odd place to be standing to be shaving your hair off in the petach ol moed. It's not exactly the most respectable place. It could be he's in one of the lishkot. It doesn't really talk about it. I wondered about that. Either way, you're mamash, like, it's not exactly the most appropriate place. So they're saying maybe it means that he shechs it with the shlamim. B'shlamim ha-katuv medaber. In other words, maybe it's telling you that it doesn't mean he's shechting it, shaving his hair in the petach ol moed. It's saying petach ol moed is like alluding to the fact that he does it with the zevach shlamim. It's like a secret code almost. You know, it doesn't mean petach ol moed, it means something else. It means he's doing it with the korban shlamim. So now what do they say? Amarta imken derech bizayonu. Okay, so the Tanakhama says this is derech bizayon, and therefore it must be it's the korban shlamim. And it doesn't mean he does a petach ha'moed standing by shaar nikanor. It means that he does it with the korban shlamim, okay, as opposed to with the korban chatah, right? Like they said, okay. And how do we know he does it with the korban shlamim? Because of that, those words. Rabbi Yoshia omer enot tzarich. You don't even need to say that it's derech bizayon. Hare amra Torah lo ta'ale b'ma'alot ha'mizbechi kavachomer l'derech bizayon. Do you remember this halacha that the Kohanim, they built a ramp and not steps to go up to the mizbeach? Why? Because it's not sanua. Even though they're wearing pants under their robes, it's still, there's something not sanua about walking up steps. And therefore, because, you know, you might be able to see under the pants or something, and therefore, they made a ramp to go up, and they used the ramp instead of steps. So if they go ad kedei kach to do that, clearly, they're not going to allow you to shave right there. Okay, now, if you think about it, he's not really disagreeing with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says it's derech bizayon, and he's coming and saying, it's a kavachomer from the lo taleb ma'alot ha'mizbechi. So now, the Gemara brings in a different version of this text, but it's not really the Gemara, okay? Even the Schottenstein points out that this is clearly a note of a student. It was written on the side that got incorporated into the text. And this version says that Rabbi Yoshi is not really disagreeing, okay? Because you could look at it one way, which is the Tanakhama saying that it's logic, and he comes and says it's a kavachomer, which is stronger than just a regular logical argument. Okay, the version of the Midrash just has Rabbi Yoshi appearing as the Tanakhama, and that there's no real argument. Okay, and this is in the Midrash B'Parshat Naso. Okay, it's in the Midrash Halacha, the Sifrei on Bamidbar. V'gilach Hanazir, Rabbi Yoshi Omer B'Shlamim Akatuv Medaber O Eno Ela V'Chule. Right, our whole question: V'gilach Hanazir Petach Ol Moed, is it B'Shlamim or is it in front of Ol Moed? Im Kach Amra Torah Lo Ta'ale V'Chule Kavachomer L'Davar Shelo Yigale. Okay? So there it just doesn't appear with a machloket. Okay? It's just, there's only one limud, and that's what it is. It's Sherek Bizayon, which makes a lot of sense because it's really the same argument. Maybe one's a little stronger because it has a kavachomer from another proof from a different place, but either which way. Okay, and if you notice, it's in brackets here, right? It says it's not in the printed text, you should put it in, right? Basically, this seems to be a note someone wrote on the side and ended up getting incorporated. The Gra says not to read this at all. It's just not part of the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Eino Tzarich. You don't need that limud. Why? Because Harehu Omer, V'lakach et Sa'ar Rosh Nizro, V'natan ala Esh. Okay, now what does it say? You have to take the hair, right? Put it on the fire. Mi she'eino mechusar ela lekicha unitina. Yatsa ze shehu mechusar lekicha hava'a v'nitina. Okay, so Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that the Petach Ol Moed is trying to tell you, it's telling you the, according to him, right, he's learning the Petach Ol Moed. One second. Right, it's telling you the locate. This pasuk is coming to teach you the location of where he did it. Now, if you look at the map, I forgot, we do need the map. You see this Lishkat HaNizirim? Mm-hmm. Okay, the Lishkat HaNizirim is, those who don't have a map in front of you, it's in the Ezrat Nashim, okay? It's on the far corner, like Drom Mizrach, okay? So in the Drom Mizrach corner, right, Mizrach is where the entrance was from the outside. Shaar Nikanor is already more toward the Ma'arav. So in the Drom Mizrach section, there's the Lishkat HaNizirim, and he's saying that the pasuk is telling you where you have to shave your hair, that you would do it in the Lishkat HaNizirim. And how does he know that? Because it says, okay, it says in the pasuk, right, he takes it, okay, meaning it has to be in a place where he just has to bring it. In other words, he has to already be in the Ezrat Nashim, he has to be there, okay, because he has to be able to bring it to where the shlamim are burning as soon as he can. Okay? So therefore, it has to be misha eino mechusar ela lekicha v'netina. It just has to be that you can take it and bring it. Yatza zeh shu mechusar lekicha hava'a v'netina. You have to take it and give it, but you don't have. We don't want you to have to carry it far, like bring it from far away. So you can't, let's say, shave it outside the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, you have to be inside the Beit HaMikdash when you're shaving it. And which place would that be? That would be the Lishkad HaNizirim. Ika de Amre, some people say the version was a little different. The Rabbi Yitzhak Omer, Bishlamim HaKachuv Medaber, again, the Pasuk is talking about the Shlamim, okay, that you need, Petach HaMoed means you have to do it with the Korban Shlamim. O Eino Ela Petach HaMoed Mamash. Talmud Lamar, how do we know whether it's that or that? The Lakachet Sa'ar Rosh Nizro, Makom Shehayam Evashel, Sham Hayam Galech. Okay, what does he tell you? The place where they would cook it, that's where he would shave. Okay, and that's how you know, because again, it's not mechusar, this lekicha nitina. Abachanan omer mishum Rabbi Eliezer, vigilachan azir petach ha'omoed. Kol zman she'ein petach ha'omoed patuach, eino magalech. He has a totally different limud. What does he learn? That you can only do the giluach in the time the petach ha'omoed is open. When is that? Daytime hours. Okay, it was closed at night. Well, right, people weren't using it at night. So you have to do it. It's coming to tell you, Petach HaMoed, not the place, not where, right? Not the with the Shlamim, but
time.
Only during the daytime hours. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, Vigilach HaNazir Petach HaMoed. Here's a third limud. Velo Nizira. If the Nazir has to do a Petach HaMoed, it comes to teach you that a Nizira can't. Shema Yitgeruba Perche Kihuna. Okay, what's this? If she starts shaving her hair, cutting her hair in the middle of the Ezrat Nashim there, okay, even though it's the Ezrat Nashim, right, it's still in the middle of the Beit HaMikdash, it's going to cause the Kohanim, right, the Perchei Kuna, the young Kohanim, to start getting interested in her, okay? It's not Sanua, basically. So therefore, what does he say? Now here, there's two different opinions about what Rabbi Shimon Chizuri is saying. Some people say that he's disagreeing with the early opinion, and he's saying that dafka he does it at the Petach HaMoed, and therefore the woman is excluded from that. Okay? And therefore women, if it has to be done in Petach HaMoed and the women can't shave there, then the women don't shave at all. Okay? Some people say that he thinks that women don't cut off all their hair. Okay? Some people say, no, he's just saying that it's coming to exclude the woman. In other words, not necessarily that he disagrees with the others, that it was done in Lishkat Nizirim. It was done in Lishkat Nizirim, not Mamash Petach HaMoed. But it was all coming, in other words, it's coming to teach you, though, since it says Petach HaMoed, well, it wouldn't be tsanua for a woman to be Petach HaMoed and shaving her hair, and therefore, women are excluded from, you know, women wouldn't do it. According to that, then, one second. No, right, according to that, women would be excluded from doing it bechlal. According to the first opinion, women could do it in Lishkat HaNizirim, where everyone else does it. So, okay. Amar lo, but then they say to him, Lidvarecha sota tochiach. Right? What do you mean? You can't shave your hair in the middle of Petach HaMoed. The sota, what happens with the sota? Everybody knows this, right? Behem midah lefnei Hashem. And what do? We parat rosh ha'isha. Right? They uncover her hair. Velo chashinan shema yitgeruba perchei kuna. And you're not worried there. There's not going to be tsanua, right? That's the whole thing about covering your hair. And for her, it was this big embarrassment, right? They uncovered her hair, and it was not tsanua. So if it's not tsanua, well then, you know, well, aren't you worried that the perchei kuna are going to be interested in her? So I have a really interesting answer. Amar lahen, zo kochelet upokeset, zo eina kochelet upokeset. Okay, kochelet upokeset means put on makeup. Okay, so they're saying the Nizira, when she would come to the Beit HaMikdash, she'd be all made up, like she'd look pretty, and then they'd just shave her hair off. Now, whether she actually had to put on makeup, I'm sure she didn't, but the point is, she came in a normal way. The Sota, the whole idea of Parat Rosh Hashanah was to linavelota, to make her look, right, to put her down, make her look disgusting. So obviously she wasn't wearing makeup, so the whole thing was to disgrace her. So no one's going to be interested in this disgraceful looking woman as they're disgracing her. That's not... You know, that it's all about how attraction is a function of what the situation is, right? And, you know, whether or not she had makeup on, I'm not sure if that's the key. I think the idea is that she was supposed to be, you know, the Nizira was a respectful ceremony. The Sota was a disgraceful ceremony, and therefore no one's going to be interested in a woman in the middle of a disgraceful ceremony. Okay, not to mention that, you know, who's going to be interested in a woman that was just cheating on her husband, and you never know.
She's already clearly married, whereas in Nizira it's not necessarily.
Right, that's also true. Although Nizira could be married.
But not necessarily, it's even.
Right.
Sota clearly is.
Right. It's an interesting distinction to make. Okay. Keep it in mind, because we're going to learn Sota soon. New Mishnah. Hayanotel Sa'ar Rosh Nizro. So now we're going to talk about what he did with the hair. So he takes his hair, Umishalech Tachat Hadud, and he puts it, just like we saw, right? In the Pasuk it said, V'gilach HaNizir Petach HaMoed, right? At Rosh Nizro, V'lakachat Sa'ar Rosh Nizro, V'natan Ala Esh Asher Tachat Zevach HaShlamim. So here they say, right? So he takes it, just like it says in the Pasuk, and he puts it under the fire, right? Under the pot that was cooking there. For the Shlamim. Why the Shlamim, by the way? Because the Ola, certainly not the Ola, because the Ola was burnt, right, entirely. It's burnt on the Mizbeach. There is no pot. They don't cook up the meat. The Shlamim was eaten by the people, so they cooked up the meat. The Chatzot also had some meat that the Kohanim would eat, but the Shlamim was eaten by everybody, and that's probably why it goes under the Shlamim. V'im gilach b'midina lo hayam shalech tachar adud. Okay, now, even though they said you have to do a petro moed, right, in the Beit HaMikdash, presumably, here it says if you did the shaving in the Medina. Now, the Medina, it's not clear. Does it mean outside the Beit HaMikdash or outside Yerushalayim? Okay? How close do you have to be for there not to be this hefsek between the lekicha and the netina, right? When you take the hair and you bring it, you don't need the hava'ah. So how far does hava'ah go? Does it mean from a different city, right, or from within Yerushalayim is already too far and you have to be actually in the Beit HaMikdash? So there's going to be a machloket about it. So there's a machloket b'chlal what Medina is, but they say, however you define Medina, according to the Tanna Kamma, if you shave in the Medina, you don't put it under the dud, okay? You don't boil it up there. B'med dvarim amurim, b'tiglachat ha-tahara, aval b'tiglachat ha-tum'ah, lo hayam ha-shaleach tachat ha-dud. Okay, so if you look at the chart, I charted it out. According to Tanna Kamma, there's four permutations here. There's tiglachat tahara in the Beit HaMikdash or in Yerushalayim. There's a tiglachat tum'ah in the Mikdash or in Yerushalayim, again, however you define Medina. Then there's a tiglachat tahara in the Medina, meaning outside, wherever that is, and there's a tiglachat tum'ah in the Medina. So according to Tanna Kamma, the only one that you put tachat adud is the tiglachat tahara in the Medina. Not in the Medina, right? In the Beit HaMikdash or Yerushalayim. Okay? That's the only time you put a tachat adud. And why is that? Because the pasuk where it talks about putting it in the tachat, right, in the Natan al Esh Asher Tachat Zevach HaShlamim only appears by the tiglachat tahara, not by the tiglachat tum'ah. Okay? And that's what he says. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hakol Meshachin Tachat Adud Chutz Minat Tamesha B'Medina Bilvad. He says the reverse. Any tahur nazir clearly puts a tachat adud, whether he's B'Medina, whether he's not. Okay, whether he's inside. With the tum'ah, it depends whether he's inside or outside. Okay, so he makes that distinction. So now the Gemara says, Notel sa'ar rosh nizro. Okay, we're going to talk about those words. What he does. Tana Ravanan, v'achar kach notel et harotev, v'notein al sa'ar rosh nizro. Okay, here they add something. According to this braita, he takes some of the gravy from the zevach hashlamim. Okay, sounds a little gross. He takes some of the gravy where the meat is cooking, and he puts it on the hair, and then he puts it mishalech tachat adud shel shlamim.
To make it smell better.
Okay, maybe to make it burn better. I don't know.
Isn't it going to burn better?
You think it'll smell better? Right. You think because burning hair smells horrible, so you think it makes it smell better? Maybe. V'im shileach tachat adud shel chatat ve'asham yatsa. Okay, and if he happens to put it under the dud, remember we said the chatat and the asham also are burning. Now, here there's something very strange. Yatsa. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to ask, wait a minute, what are you talking about if he puts it under the chatat and the asham? Asham benazir tahur mi'ika. What asham are you talking about? Right? This is all talking about the shlamim. Now, this is why I charted it out for you, okay? The nazir with the tiglachat tahara brings a shlamim. Now, they're saying, and if you put it under the chatat, you're yotze. Okay, fine. We understand that. Right? Obviously not the ola, because there is no pot of the ola burning, roasting, cooking, because they burned it all in the mizbeach. Now they say if you put it under the ashram, you're yotze, but you would never put the shlamim on top of the ashram. There wouldn't be an ashram and a shlamim happening in the same
thing. Maybe it's somebody else's.
You're putting the hair under the ashram, no?
Yeah, you're putting the hair, but what asham is there?
They're talking about a tameh.
So some people say that they're talking about a nazir tameh. If you're a nazir tameh and you put it under the asham...
Which we should have asked the question.
So, right, the question is, what do you do if you're...
Exactly.
When you do the nazir tameh, which one are you putting it under? And if that's the case, if you assume that the asham is parallel to the shlamim there, then you would... Then lechatchila would go under the asham and not b'dieven. And this is saying b'dieven if it goes under the asham. Some interpretations say that it means... That if you didn't do it, that you're supposed to wait with the hair of the Nazir Tameh and burn it with the Shlamim when he finishes. And what this is coming to say is, if you didn't hold on to it and you burned it right away under the Asham, you'd be Yotze B'dieved. But that ideally, you're actually not supposed to burn that hair until the very end, and then you burn both sets of hair, basically. That's one interpretation, which makes this Gemara make a little bit more sense. But again, that's... Also somewhat difficult, because whoever thought about leaving over the hair that long, you know, it doesn't seem to be that that's what they're saying.
Hair rests.
Okay. Anyway, there's a bit of a weakness here of what's going on here with this braita. Because it's like mixing apples and oranges. You know, it's mixing two different tiglachot here. Amarava, hachikamar. So again, now they're going to say, so asham bin nazir mi'ika. Amarava, hachikamar. V'im nazir tameh mishaleach tachar adud shel asham. Right, so that, now we're going to read what I said. If the nazir tameh puts it under the asham, yatsa. Okay, meaning though that he should have left it for later. Minahane mile. Where do we get that? Where do we get that it's okay if you put it under something else? Okay, that again, lechatchila, we know it has to go tachat zevach hashlamim. That's what it said. But what if he does it under something else? How do we know that it's okay? Amarav amarkra asher tachat zevach hashlamim mizivcho yehe tachtav v'mshaleach tachat adud shel chatat yatsa. In other words, what does it say? It says zevach hashlamim. It doesn't just say shlamim. Zevach means korban in general. So what are they saying? It has to be tachat the zevach of the shlamim, but if he did it tachat achatat, then he'd be yotzei. And that's why it has the word zevach to include other korbanot. My taima, amar kras zevach lerabot et chachatat v'asham. So now they say, wait. V'ha afikte lahai zevach mirotev. Okay, so now, wait a minute. I messed up. Okay. The first question they were asking, Minahane Mile, was how do we know he has to put the rotev with it? And that, Amar Rava, Amar Krash, or Tachat Zevach Hashlamim. Okay? From the Zevach, it has to be Tachtav, meaning you have to take from the Zevach to put underneath it. So you need to take some of the rotev. But then it says, V'im Shilech Tachat Adud, Tachatat Yatsam, my Taima, and that's because Amar Krash, Zevach, Lerabot Tachatat Hashem. So now they say, wait, but didn't we just learn v'ha'afikte l'hai zevach mirotev? Didn't we just learn zevach, they're saying, goes for the rotev, and it also goes to include the chatzat niyashem. You can't learn two things from one pasuk. Again, they're going to say like what they always say, which is, im kein lemakram mirotev hashlamim. My zevach shmamina l'rabot chatat v'asham. If it wanted to tell you just the rotev, it would have said from rotev, and it wouldn't have said from zevach. The fact that they chose the word zevach comes to teach you, yes, it's from the zevach hashlamim, from the rotev, but also it comes to include the chatat and the asham. So then they say, ve'ema kula l'chatat v'asham hudata. Maybe the word zevach is just coming to teach you chatat and asham. So then they say, no, because then im kein lema shlamim v'zevach. It would have said shlamim v'zevach, right? Meaning shlamim or anything else. My zevach hashlamim, shmami natarte. Okay, because it's a zevach, it means you can learn two things. Okay, zevach hashlamim instead of shlamim vizevach. Okay, again, this is always a little bit weak because if you said shlamim vizevach, it would sound like lechatchila, you could put it under the chatat niyashem. So it's not perfect, but they're trying to say, echdu, they learn two things from the pasuk. They learn both that the rotev has to go under and that you have to, that if you did it under the chatat or the asham, it would be okay. Stop here for today.